Gracious Lord, open your word to us now. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Please sit down. I want to thank Ian for his lovely welcome, and it's great to see you and to be with you all again. So thank you. Find the right place. I've been dropping everything this morning, leaving my glasses at home and all sorts of things. Right. I swear by Almighty God to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. You will all be familiar with that oath sworn by witnesses in countless TV courtroom dramas. Have any of you served on a jury? Oh, quite yes, a number. Right, so, well, then perhaps you have heard testimonies which were in fact contradictory. Was someone lying? Is it possible to have partial and contingent versions of the truth? In our gospel reading, Jesus is being questioned by Pontius Pilate. Now, let's be clear. Jesus is a nobody. He's a humble peasant. He's an itinerant teacher. Pontius Pilate, on the other hand, is the official representative of Rome. In worldly terms, Jesus is weak, powerless. Pilate is well-connected and powerful. But in this exchange, who is in charge? Who is on the defensive? If I just find it. In verse 37, "You are a king then," said Pilate. And Jesus answered, "You're right in saying I'm a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." Pilate sounds petulant, whereas Jesus sounds perfectly calm and composed. Does anybody know what the next verse is? I'm rather sorry it's not been included. What is the truth? It sounds cynical. Pilate says, "Truth, what's that? Truth, what's that?" Well, that's a question for us today, for our time. How do we weigh up contradictory voices competing for our attention, all claiming to be the truth? Brexit, Remain, Facebook, Snapchat, Donald Trump's outrageous tirades on Twitter. But when he doesn't like, when he hears something he doesn't like, it's fake news. Where are we to go to search for truth? Well, let's start with our bodies, our senses, the evidence of our eyes and ears, our mouths, our noses. That's the sort of evidence which might carry some sort of weight in a court of law. With our senses, we explore our surroundings. But are they reliable? Last Christmas, amongst other things, I gave my grandchildren a box of vegetables, sprouts, carrots, and sweet corn. Their parents were quite pleased. But when the children took a bite, what did they taste? Chocolate. Chocolate and chocolate. The kids enjoyed the joke. I'm not sure about the parents. Our senses, our memories can be tricked. So where can we go next in search of truth? How about science? Experiments which deliver results. The scientist and atheist Richard Dawkins wants experimental truth, experimental proof, before he'll believe anything. Now, I trained as a scientist and as an engineer a long time ago. Scientists do ask, "Can you prove it?" Engineers, on the other hand, say, "Does it work?" And on the whole, I'm with the engineers. But scientists, they uncover the workings of the natural world. But no self-respecting scientist will ever, ever guarantee that something is 100% true. Never, because scientific laws are a moving target. They're always provisional. A theory holds until it is superseded by another theory which fits the evidence better. Isaac Newton's laws were overtaken by Einstein. And now some of Einstein's theories are being queried in turn. So we're not getting very far. Our senses can be deceived. Science is incomplete. Where next? Wait for it. Story. When Jesus wanted to make a point in order to teach his followers, he told a story. The Good Samaritan. The lost sheep. The laborers in the vineyard. Stories resonate with us in all manner of ways. Stories explore character and relationships and society. In Shakespeare's play Hamlet, the prince returns from his studies to a beleaguered Denmark. His father, the king, is dead. And in short order, his mother, Queen Gertrude, has married the king's brother Claudius, who has now himself been proclaimed king. Hamlet suspects foul play. He sets a trap to uncover the truth. He invites a group of travelling players to take part in a drama before the royal court. The drama apparently reenacts the murder. Hamlet watches Claudius closely for his reaction and possible guilt. So here we've got a clever device, a play within a play, to explore something rotten in the state of Denmark, or in the court at any rate. But was Shakespeare looking further than that? Does he also want to reflect something rotten in the state of England? Queen Elizabeth is on the throne. Her father, Henry VIII, had ordered the death of her mother, Anne Boleyn. In England, there were spies and plots and conspiracies throughout the realm. Queen Elizabeth's life and throne were being threatened at every turn. And in the play, Hamlet explores England as well as Denmark. Now, when I was a child, we village children used to go to school by steam train. You can picture the scene. The carriages were dirty and dilapidated. The rail company wasn't going to waste good carriages on school children. There was no corridor, just an upholstered bench on either side of the compartment, above which on each side there were parallel mirrors. I was fascinated by these mirrors. They reflected one another endlessly, backwards and forwards. An infinite and dimly receding picture. Reflection. Our various truths, our interpretations, senses, science, stories, they all form part of the whole truth. Like those images reflected in those parallel mirrors, shadowy and incomplete. St. Paul says, and St. Paul is talking about life and death, and he says, now we see only reflections in a mirror, but then we shall see face to face. Now I know only imperfectly, but then I shall know just as fully as I myself am known. When we die, we will then know the truth. Let's just finish by going back to that verse. If I can find it again. Jesus answered, you're right in saying I'm a king. For this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. The Oxford English Dictionary defines truth as constancy, faithfulness, the character of being steadfast. Truth is personal. Truth is emotional as well as logical. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father too." Truth is Jesus. Gracious God, help us to keep our eyes fixed on you so that we can know you as you know us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.